In World War I, British soldiers fighting the Germans in Belgium claimed to have seen it in the sky. Hello, this is The Ark, and I'm Rachel Kahn. Today we explore one of the most talked about apparitions in wartime, the Angel of Mons. Was it a miracle or wartime propaganda? David Clark is an expert in the supernatural and has written The Angel of Mons about the phantom soldiers and ghostly guardians that appeared on the battlefield. It's a phenomenon with an ancient precedent.
There are numerous stories in the Bible, of course, including the one about the siege of Dothan, where the prophet Elisha is being menaced by the Assyrians and suddenly turns around and the battlefield is encircled by angels and fiery chariots. And also during the Middle Ages, there are numerous similar stories that seem to almost be based upon the biblical tales. Probably the one that's the most familiar to listeners are the stories during the Crusades. During the siege of Jerusalem, I think it was in 1099, the Crusaders apparently were rescued by the intervention of St. George on a phantom horse that suddenly appeared in the sky, scattered the people who were doing the siege. And the Christians were rescued. So throughout history, there is this underlying theme of supernatural intervention in battle. And it seems to reappear again during the First World War.
Indeed, where it seemed soldiers really needed all the help they could get. Your story about the Angel of Mons focuses on the British Expeditionary Force facing the Germans at Mons. What were they actually confronted with?
Well, they were confronted with an enormous, well-equipped, well-trained army. Not to say that the British were not equally well-trained, but they certainly couldn't match the German army in terms of numbers. And at the beginning of the First World War, there was massive mobilisation of armed forces across Europe. Everyone was desperately trying to reach the front line as quicker than anyone else, using the railways, horseback, etc. But the German army decided to end the war as quickly as possible by sending the best troops across the border into France to try and knock out the French armies, encircle Paris, capture Paris, bring an end to the war with a German victory in the first few months. Of course, it didn't work out that way. The British had crossed the Channel in secrecy, and they were forming a line with the French armies just north of the Belgian town of Mons, where all the action took place. Both sides really didn't have a clue about the size of the army that was opposing them, and the British were outnumbered 3-1 at Mons. Didn't know this at the time, and so they were facing mounting odds. The French took a real battering right from the word go. They retreated, leaving the British cut off, and they were quickly surrounded by the German army. So it was a really perilous situation.
But they did manage to come out of it as victors. And part of this has to do with what they saw on the battlefield, or that is, as the story goes.
That's what was claimed, yeah. Military historians have a completely different version of the story in which angels don't appear. If you speak to military historians, they will say that the reason that the British survived the Battle of Mons and almost emerged victorious, as you say, was due to the fact that they were professional soldiers, they were well trained, they were able to use the Lee Enfield rifles, which they were equipped with, to great effect, so that the Germans believed they were facing a battery of machine guns, even though there was only a very thin line of British troops. So you can see possibly where they believe that they'd escaped through a miracle.
Well, the circulation of the story that they had seen angels or something very important, perhaps a phantom cavalry, spread pretty quickly. And I wonder whether that is due to the wartime period where rumours do spread quickly.
I'm certain that was the case. Right from the outbreak of the war, the people on the home front were desperate for news, but there was very, very little news because so much of the information that was coming from the front was subject to censorship by the official censor in London. So people in that situation, and the same goes on today, if you can't get accurate information, you tend to fall back upon rumours. And rumours spread not just amongst the people on the home front, but also amongst the soldiers. And it does seem that the worst stories circulating almost from the beginning of September shortly after the Battle of Mons about something unusual that was supposed to have happened. And the first stories were, strangely enough, not about angels. They were, as you've just mentioned, about phantom cavalry, mysterious clouds that hid soldiers from the enemy, allowing them to escape, rather than the actual angels that seemed to emerge many, many months later when the story had been retold in the cloud of rumour that appeared.
Well, your book, The Angel of Mons, leaves little doubt that the press had something to do with what the soldiers or what people eventually believed happened at Mons.
Well, we can trace what I think are the origins of the Angel of Mons story to one particular newspaper article. It was actually a short story that was published in the London Evening News right at the end of September 1914, a couple of weeks after the Battle of Mons, and it was called The Bowman. And it was written by a journalist called Arthur Machen, who was a Welshman, who was a writer of supernatural fiction. But he was also a journalist writing for a very well-read London Evening newspaper. And he was very patriotic. He wanted to write something to give the men on the front a bit of a boost. And he came up with this story, The Bowman, which was complete fiction, and it was all about how a battalion of British soldiers had been rescued right in the nick of the Battle of Mons, just as they were about to be overwhelmed by the Germans, by a ghostly battalion of archers from Agincourt, who are sort of invoked by a magic spell, and they shower the Germans with arrows, phantom arrows, killing the Germans and allowing the British to escape. It was complete fiction. He made this up from just off the top of his head. It was published, but in the way it was published, it wasn't pointed out that this was a piece of fiction. And it seems that lots of people read this story and believed, because of the censorship that was endemic in the newspapers at the time, that if this story had appeared, if it had been allowed to appear, therefore there must be some truth in it.
Well, didn't Arthur Machen have some interesting occult associations as well as being a hard-nosed journalist?
He certainly did, yes. He was steeped in occultism right from his very early days in the Welsh valleys. He was very interested in the local folklore, the stories about visits to the other world, fairy traditions, and he incorporated much of this material into his fictional writing. He had published several occult novels at the turn of the 20th century, but which didn't sell very well, unfortunately, because they were pretty risque for the time. Dealt with things such as possession, strange supernatural visions, those sorts of things. And like many budding authors, he had no choice but to join a newspaper and to write non-fiction. And it seems it's the combination of those circumstances. He was writing ostensibly non-fiction, reporting on the war, and yet at the same time he was coming up with these short stories, completely fictional. And I think it was the mixture of those two things that allowed people to sort of transform his story into The Angel of Mons.
Well, it is extraordinary that he protested to many of his friends and acquaintances, including a Catholic priest, that this was an invention, and yet they insisted that it might be true.
Yes, yes. You can sense his frustration in that he was absolutely sure he was the person who had sparked this story off. There are no accounts of supernatural happenings before the publication of The Bowman. But even his friends and his editor on the Evening News didn't believe him. And the more people read about this story and the more people translated it into their own experiences, he became more and more pilloried in the press, and people were saying, you know, he's got a huge ego, he can't accept that these stories were circulating before he wrote The Bowman. And yet, looking at this now for almost a century, in the future, we're able to see that there was actually no published accounts of anything unusual before his story.
Now, tell me about the Australian-born English nurse who becomes the champion of this kind of story from the field.
Yes, this was Phyllis Campbell, and she's a very interesting character, also like Arthur Machen, steeped in occultism. She was born in Australia, and she moved, I think it was at the age of 7, with her sister and her parents to live in England briefly. Then shortly before the First World War, she went to school in Brittany. And she was still at school, she was only 19 years old, when the war broke out. And she volunteered as a nurse on the front line in France. And it was while she was caring for wounded and dying soldiers on the front line shortly after the Battle of Mons that she claimed that she'd actually spoken to several people, some of them very near death, who claimed that they'd seen these visions. Not only British soldiers, French soldiers, who'd seen what they claimed were visions of Joan of Arc leading the French soldiers against the Germans. She claimed that she'd spoken to several officers and men of British regiments who'd seen St. George, so it's almost as if there was some kind of apparition. But different sides were seeing it in terms of their own mythology. Now, she had already written stories about ghosts and apparitions before the First World War, and she had an intense hatred of the Germans. And this comes through in her writings of the period. She describes all kinds of atrocities that have since been questioned. So it does throw some doubt upon the veracity of some of her stories, but who knows? It's impossible to say so far after the event.
One of the explanations given that I think you dismiss is that there were lights projected onto the clouds, something projected on the clouds to scare the enemy.
Yeah, that was a very intriguing suggestion that came up. And in 1930, a New York newspaper published a story that was allegedly from a wartime German intelligence officer. And he claimed that the Angel of Mons and very similar apparitions that had been seen by the French were actually movie projections, images of angels that the Germans had projected onto the clouds at the outbreak of the battle in order to try and scare the troops on the opposite side. And apparently these had been projected from aeroplanes hovering over the front lines. But apparently this idea had backfired in that the troops had seen these images and believed them to be St. George, Joan of Arc, actually leading them against the Germans. So, in effect, it had backfired. But the odd thing about this story was that shortly after the story had been published, there was an official statement put out by the German War Office that said that this intelligence officer was a liar. He didn't exist. It was someone just making this story up. And if we actually look at the evidence, the Battle of Mons was fought at midday. It wasn't fought at night. So how would it have been possible to project images onto clouds in daylight?
Not very easily. And also
the technology to mount cinema projectors onto the flimsy aeroplanes that were around in 1914 just simply didn't exist. So again, this seems to be a hoax.
Well, David, what role do you ascribe to the censor, the official censor, in all of this? Do you think they had a hand in perpetuating this story?
Again, very difficult to get to the bottom of this one. I've traced it as far as I possibly could, and it's quite interesting that one of the wartime intelligence officers, John Charteris, Brigadier General, who was with the British Expeditionary Force, he was in charge of spreading false rumours and to disorientate the enemy. And he was, strangely enough, one of the first people supposedly to write about the Angel of Mons in his diary, well before a lot of the published accounts in the newspapers. And he was certainly behind spreading some of the other stories, some of the black propaganda, I think you'd call it, stories that were deliberately invented by the British intelligence in order to confuse the enemy. These were circulated during the war, and it's possible that the Angel of Mons, if not it was deliberately created, but was encouraged by some of the propagandists who were working at the time.
What about subsequent wars, like World War II? I think you recount something about a similar apparition or story around the Battle of Britain.
Shortly after the Battle of Britain, when it was still possible that the German invasion would come about, and there was a vision that was seen by a shepherd, strangely enough, in October, November 1940, of Christ on a cross in the sky above the Sussex Downs, surrounded by six angels. And this shepherd came down to the village in Sussex, told his story, and several other people claimed to have seen this vision. And it was seen by the newspapers at the time as a sign of victory.
David Clark was talking to me from Sheffield in England. His book is The Angel of Mons.